morning. I do hope that by now in our Christian life we have learned that our hope is in Christ. Every other ground is sinking sand. Let's begin with a word of prayer this morning. Lord, as we come to Thee this morning, we look that as we consider Your Word, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts and deepen our spirits, that, Lord, we might have understanding of what is on Your heart. Lord, that You might be able to share Your heart with us this morning. Lord, we really do come because we are totally dependent upon Thee, Lord, and on Your Spirit to move and to work in our hearts. Lord Jesus, do not let Your Word fall by the wayside this morning, but may it indeed find good ground in our hearts that there might be a difference. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in recent weeks, I have been sharing on living the life. And of course, the life that I'm talking about is the Christian life. Living life as a Christian, not life as the world would know it. And we've been talking about this matter of the exchange life in Jesus Christ, that we as Christians don't live by our own life, but by the life of Christ. And that in order for that to happen, something has to have taken place, or we'll never be willing to exchange our life. And that event that has taken place was worked out on Calvary by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when we were crucified with Him. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Let's go, first of all, to the book of Romans. We'll read two scriptures out of Romans. First, Romans 8:29. Now, let me do it the other way. Go to Galatians first. Let's go to Galatians first. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, our theme verse. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, not the old I, but Christ liveth in me. The new I. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now let's go to Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, we will walk in the Spirit. Now, Romans 8:13. Romans 8:13, if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And then go to verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In sharing upon this matter of the exchange life, of being transformed into the image of the Son of God, we need to always keep in mind that the cross is God's means to God's end. And His end is that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. And that in being conformed to the image of His Son, we find out that we have been called according to purpose a little earlier in this verse. And that purpose is that we might be the body of Jesus Christ. And that the matured body of Jesus Christ might be the bride of Christ. And that in so being, that we will fulfill God's desire to have a helpmate for His Son in which to walk throughout eternity with in whatever calling that we will be called to at that time. So our transformation, the change that God is looking to do in us, is not just for us alone. It is that we might be conformed to His image, the fullness of Christ. And that can only be accomplished in a corporate body, the church, which is to become the bride. So we need to be very clear on what is happening. And God's way of doing this transforming life, of bringing us into God's full eternal purpose, is the cross. And last time we shared on the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans is all about what God has accomplished on the cross, that our lives can be transformed. It is God's way. It is God's work. It is His only way. And as I was thinking about this matter of being transformed, you know, some of you may have seen it on TV. There's a program called Extreme Makeover. And what they do is they try to find some of the ugliest people they can find. Now, I'm not trying to. Well, how else can you say it? I mean, that's the program. That's the whole design of the program. They get ugly people, and they transform the women into beauty queens. And it's amazing what they can do with some dental work and some laparosuction and all these things that they're able to do, hair transplants, eye trans, everything. It's just a new person. And, of course, these people come out there thrilled to death because now they look so much better. It will be interesting to see 10 years from now how these people will consider themselves with their transformed look. I don't know. Transforming the outside seems to have some marvelous benefits for some. But our real thing that God is after is an internal transformation. Actually, God has made the ultimate makeover. And makeover's probably not a good word. The ultimate transformation. Because as I shared last time, we were sinners. We have a sin nature in our lives, and therefore the wrath of God was upon us, according to the book of Romans. We had a destiny that was not too good. And frankly, in God's eyes, we were totally unacceptable, and from His standpoint, obviously very ugly, because sin is our nature, and He cannot look upon sin. But God did not choose to utterly destroy us in the sense that we are no longer anything. But God did propose to transform us. And His way of doing it is a little bit unique. Because as we learned last time, what He has done is He has put us in Christ, in His Son, and on Calvary's cross He crucified us. It says He crucified the old man, according to Romans 6:3. He said, all right, I've looked at you, you're not acceptable. And it seems like the simplest solution is just to do away with you. And yet, there is to be within your soul a transformation. An exchange of lives will take place where your life, which has been crucified as the old man in Christ, is taken out of the way and replaced by the life of Christ in you. Now, I don't know if there's any way to really explain what God has done on the cross and it crucifying the old man, because our minds are limited. No matter how good or bad they may be, they are limited. And so it does come down to a matter of faith. You have to see with the eyes of faith that you have been crucified with Christ. That old fallen nature, the old man, the Adamic life that you receive from your mother and father, what you are in Adam has been crucified in Christ. And the Word goes on to say that that is the end of Adam. That is why the Word of God says that Christ came to be the last Adam, but God's second man, which I shared on last time. It was in God, God took all that was in Adam into Christ, and on the cross of Calvary, the Adamic race ended. In God's eyes, it is over. His judgment has fallen upon man, that sinful man that comes from the life of Adam that you and I both have. He said, no more. It's over. It's over in my Son, Jesus Christ, the work that was done on Calvary's cross. But it said Christ was also the second man. So in resurrection, we see the second man. And that's why the Word can say, in Christ, you are a new creation. Because now you're no longer of the line of Adam. You are out of the line of Christ. You have been born again. And therefore, you have a new birth. And in this new birth, it is a spiritual life and not a life of the flesh. We have to, on the one hand, by faith, accept our death in Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, we have to be willing to take Christ as our life. And before, what I've tried to emphasize, in your Christian life, it should occur when you accept Christ, but it doesn't always work out that way. We need, in our life, at some point, to experience the fact to say, Lord, not I, but Christ. All my life, I've been looking to you to give me victory, so that I can overcome. But today I see, Lord, that I will never overcome. The old I cannot really ever overcome. What I need is you. And I want to exchange my life for your life. My life of defeat for you as my victory. So that it's not just a matter of gaining victory. What you gain is the life of Christ working in you, giving you the victory. It is the difference between life and death. It is the difference between trying to live the Christian life the old way as opposed to Christ living in you. Another way to say it is, we can live this life in Christ, or we can live this life outside of Christ. Now, I need to be theologically correct. Okay? God put you in Christ. The Word says, of God are you in Christ. That is a work that God has done. It cannot be undone. Thank God for that. But brothers and sisters, it says that we walk by faith. We have to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We have to have God open our eyes to see that He has put us in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, what we do because of a lack of faith that we are in Christ, we live our lives as if we are outside of Christ. So I want to be clear. In the work that God's done, He's put you there, and that's where you are. Thank God. You can never be taken out of Christ. But we can live our lives as if we're not in Christ. We can live our lives, so to speak, outside of Christ. And that's why often we find our Christian life so weak and without power. We live our lives in the flesh. And what is the flesh? The flesh is what we are in ourselves outside of Christ. Let me give an example. I wanted to come up with a good example that would help us this morning. And this is a limited example. But this morning at home, I left about 9 o'clock. Got here. Actually, I left at 5 till 9 and got here at 9:25. It takes about 30 minutes to come from Ashland in my car. As long as I'm in my car and have become a driver in my car, I can get here in 25 minutes. But if I had chosen not to get in my car this morning, to live in my car, to drive my car, I would have had to depend on myself. And if myself was going to get here this morning and not get in my car, not live in my car, so to speak, then I would have walked. Because that's the old life, without a car. You know, without a car, that's the old life. You walk. And I would have arrived here about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Now, I would have actually made it here, amazingly enough, in the old life. But I would have not have been here for the Lord's table, for worship, for ministry, for sharing, for fellowship. I would have really missed everything that was in God's heart for me this morning. Because I chose to get here in my old life, depending on my old way of walking outside of being in the car. Now, that's not the greatest of analogies. But brothers and sisters, this is the way we live our Christian life a lot of the times. Instead of living as if we are in Christ, by faith laying hold of the fact that we are in Christ, we live in actuality outside of Him. And the consequence of that is we depend on our old life to live the Christian life. And we may get somewhere, but we're going to miss a lot of what God is after in our lives. Well, to be clear, or try to be clear, the flesh is how we live outside of Christ. It's our life outside of Christ. It's the life in our soul that's outside of Christ. In Galatians, it says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And then it goes on to say, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, what we get confused about in these scriptures is we say, well, Lord, weren't we crucified? If we're crucified, how is it that we find the Spirit fighting against the flesh and the flesh fighting against the Spirit? And brothers and sisters, it's because that what we are outside of Christ, you are still capable of living that way. And that's called the flesh. But what you are in Christ is by the Spirit. And that we can walk in the Spirit and walk in the life of Christ. If you look inside, you will always find flesh until one day we're with the Lord and that will be gone. But right now, in the life that you live today, you can look inside and you will always find the flesh. That's why it's so difficult for many brothers and sisters in faith to lay hold of our co-crucifixion in Christ. They're saying, well, I thought it was dead and now it's alive. Well, as long as you see yourself in yourself and outside of Christ, you'll be very alive. As long as you depend on that life to live the Christian life, that flesh will be very alive in you. So, it is critical, brothers and sisters, that by faith, we're able to lay hold of and take our place in Christ by faith. Now, remember, in one of my previous messages, I think it was on truth and faith, or faith and truth. The truth is that the old man has been crucified in Christ. That is an eternal truth. It can never be altered, changed. How you feel about it or don't feel about it will not change the truth. It's true in Christ. And that is a truth that sets you free. What you are in yourself, you say, and this is, you'll say, well, this is true of me. That is not the truth that sets you free. That is what binds you. And so it is important that we as Christians, by faith, lay hold of what we are in Christ and get our eyes off of what we are in ourselves, in the flesh. In this way, you will truly experience what has been done in Christ. I'll say it another way. Our crucifixion in Christ is objective truth. It's something done by God. It cannot be changed. The flesh tends to be our subjective experience. It doesn't have to be, but it tends to be because we live in the flesh instead of in the Spirit. Why is it that often we find that we don't seem to have the power to live the Christian life? A lot of times, it's because the flesh in us wants to do it. And let me explain it this way. When the passions of your flesh are stirred up, you see something, something will happen, and the passions of the flesh from that sin nature within you will begin to stir. Now, what do you do when that happens? You say, oh, man, okay, Lord, I'm going to stand against this. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not. I'm not going to yield to this thing. And if I just can hang in there long enough, I'll get through this one, this temptation. That what we're doing at that point is that we're using the old life to try to overcome what is stirring in our flesh. The lust and passions of the flesh are still there in you, in yourself, outside of Christ. So what you do is when that begins to happen, is you step forward and you find that this sin, there's usually a couple of sins that easily beset you. And it keeps coming back. And if we find that true in our life, it's because we're trying to do it with the old life outside of Christ. It's because we really like the old life. We're used to it. We understand it. And we're familiar with it. And it's just natural to fall back and say, okay, when the enemy comes, I'll step forward and try to deal with it. It's because we live outside of Christ. And this is where our life, our self-life, the life of the flesh and soul operates. So it's by faith. Let me read a few verses that may help us. Romans 7:4 says, I am carnal, fleshly, sold under sin. It is no more I, but sin that dwells in me. I know that in me, that in my flesh dwells no good thing. In these scriptures in Romans 7, you see a man who is a Christian, and it's Paul's describing an experience he went through, and he says, it is no more I that do these fleshly things, but sin that dwell in me. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. This might help us a little bit because it shows us what the flesh is. The flesh is sin and me. The flesh consists of the sin nature and also me, my old self-life, the old self-life. And it has the sin nature driving it. Now, how is the sin nature dealt with? We have to see ourselves in Christ. If you see yourself in Christ, you'll say, well, I'm crucified. And as Paul says, how can we that are dead to sin anymore live in it? In other words, the old man's been crucified. If you can, by faith, take that step when sin nature in you begins to stir, you can say, well, the old man, the sinner, the slave to sin nature, has been crucified, and therefore I no longer have to serve him. I can just remain dead. But the enemy comes to tempt you, brothers and sisters, and stir up that sin nature. In Romans 7:5, it speaks of the motions of sin that are still in our bodies. And in James 1:14, it says, man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. That's the way it works. The sin nature is in us. It's enticed, it comes forth, and then it conceives. And the only salvation is the one that Christ has provided on the cross, that we have been crucified in him. But what we try to do, and let's see if I can help out here, is we try to resist that temptation. We step forward, and we step forward not in Christ, but in ourselves. And we start trying to resist, and it's doomed for failure. I remember, I think Stephen used this example one time of a little girl who had accepted the Lord. And so a man was talking to her about temptations. And he said, well, what do you do when you're tempted? And she said, well, I go to the door and I look through the peephole and I see Satan standing there. And I just turn to the Lord and ask him to answer it. Now, that is a very simple illustration, but that is indeed the way we live the Christian life. When temptation comes, We take our place in Christ and say, I'm dead. Lord, you've got to take care of it. I can't wrestle with this thing. And then the Holy Spirit is allowed in that way to do His work. But as long as we're working, the Holy Spirit cannot work. Remember, it says what wrestles against the flesh? The Spirit. It doesn't say you wrestle against the flesh. It's the Spirit in you that wrestles against the flesh. In Romans 8:13, it says, if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Mortify the deeds of the body. Or to make naught the deeds of the body. To bring to death the deeds of the body. Basically, it's saying you have to allow God's Spirit to move, to deal with these temptations. Therefore, what you will experience is that in your body, you will no longer be doing the deeds of the flesh. If we live outside of Christ or live our lives as if we're outside of Christ, then brothers and sisters, our life will be indeed ones of failure, asking forgiveness, going a little while, making it through for a while, coming back, failing again. Another way to say it is you need to stay in the car. Now, did you follow me? You need to stay in Christ. We have this great opportunity. Think about it. I've talked about the illustration of in the car. What if you're in a jet airplane? Wow. I can make it to California in 4 hours. If I had to walk in the old flesh, I don't know. Probably 3 or 4 months. Maybe a year for me, the way I walk. I tell you, I'm pretty slow when it comes to that. But this is the way the sin nature in us is overcome. And it's by taking your place in Christ, in the death that you experience in Christ on the cross with Him. Now, I said that there's two elements of the flesh. One is the sin nature in us that stirs. And the way that's taken care of is truly by faith, laying a hold of the truth in Christ that you have been crucified with Him. That is the foundation. I'll probably say it 1,000 times because this is the point at which we as Christians often miss. We have the theological knowledge, but we don't have the reality. And all I can tell you is that in my own life, after struggling for years and years and many years, I finally said, Lord, I really don't have the faith, do I? I really am not believing what your word tells me. That's the bottom line. I have sinned because I don't believe your word. Lord, forgive me and help my unbelief. And thank God the Lord began to move and open my eyes. It takes spiritual revelation, the Spirit moving on God's Word to make it alive to you and real to you. Otherwise, our crucifixion with cross on the cross remains a doctrine in our minds that does not help us at all. But it has to be in life and by faith. Well, there's two elements to the flesh. One is that sin nature, but the other one is me, the self-life. And what is the self-life? The self-life is, once again, it's that life that's outside of Christ. It's a life that can live on its own. It's the life that was in Adam that says, okay, boy, if I eat of this fruit, I can be like God, knowing good and evil. I can then do it on my own. I can kind of be a God for myself. I can live the life the way I want to, and I can live by the strength of that life. I can reason with that life. I can make decisions with that life. Oh, I can walk with that life. I can go through life making my own decisions, and in my strength be able to make it through, which works fine until many of us crash. And we find out that indeed this old life will not make it through. It's this matter of the self-life. It is the life of your soul. You have mind, will, and emotions, but there is a life behind that. And it's a life you're born with. God deals with the self-life differently. And yet it's still by the cross. It's through the cross. In Matthew 16:24 and in Luke 9:18 it says, "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up the cross. Whosoever will save his self-life, his soul life, shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his soul life or self life for my sake shall find it. What profits a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Brothers and sisters, that's what's at stake. Now, thank God, by the mercies of God, our spirit has been made alive to God in Jesus Christ. But our soul has to go through a transforming work so that it no longer expresses the old self-life, but the new life of Christ in you. And I have to say, in my own experience, how little of truly of the life of Christ is expressed and how much I really are finding that I live in the old life most of the time. And so in Luke it says daily take up your cross. And the emphasis there is on daily, because it is a daily transformation that has to take place. We as Christians can live by two different lives. There's two lives within you. One is the life of Christ and the other is the old self life. The life that animates your soul. The life of your soul. And that life does not want to die. It wants to live. And yet it is a life that is outside of Christ. That's why Paul said, "I live, yet not I. I have." First he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. And I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God." So how is this self dealt with? It says, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow the Lord. And this is the way of transformation. The reason for our lack of power to live the Christian life is that, and frankly, we're living out of the old life. We're living as if we're not in Christ. We're living by that self-life. We're living by the power that is in that self-life. In that way, you feel more in charge of your life because you're doing it. And that self-life likes it that way. Let me put it another way. The self-life really is never willing to die. That's why the work of the cross has to be done upon it. And you yourself have to say no to that life. Denying self doesn't mean that you deny yourself of things. It means that you are actually denying that old life. When you begin to see that you're operating in that old life, and the Spirit will show you that, then you have to say, no, that's not me. I am a new creation in Christ. And that is the life I now live by. But the old life is never willing to die. You know, when you first accept Christ and you're just full of the life of the Lord, You love the Word. You love the fellowship with other Christians. You know, things are just great in your life. And you're able to learn the Word. The Word becomes alive to you. And you're going along. And then as you go on, though, it seems like this begins to dissipate. And things become a struggle. You find that, you know, reading the Word just doesn't seem to do much for you anymore. Coming, having the Lord's table seems like a routine to you. If there's some brothers and sisters that'll talk to you, you're willing to talk. But even in sharing and in fellowship, it doesn't seem to touch your life like it used to. What has happened? What has happened is slowly, and often it's very subtle, you have begun to go back to living outside of Christ, so to speak, living the Christian life by your old life. Now, it says very clearly in Corinthians that the carnal man or the fleshly man cannot understand the things of God. Often we think that's unbelievers. Well, unbelievers can't either because they don't have the Spirit. But a carnal Christian living in the flesh, living by the old man, he has very little understanding too. The Word no longer becomes alive to you. And it's because we're beginning to walk in the old life. And what does the old life do? It reads this Word and it understands it. It tries to get a grasp of it, but somehow there's nothing living there. And we live the life, our Christian life, by our determination. By the determination that's in our will. And brothers and sisters, that varies widely among us. Some are very strong-willed, and some of our wills are not quite so strong. But in either instance, that old life, the life of your will and your emotions and of your mind, doesn't want to give up. It doesn't want to take that place of death. And so it says, no, I can do it. In other words, this old life you have now substituted for the life of Christ in you. The old life and the power and abilities of that old soul life now begins to take over, and it becomes a substitute for the life of Christ in you and the power that's in that life to overcome. And we find ourselves in a much weakened condition. Maybe one of the best examples is Christ himself, brothers and sisters. Concerning our attitude towards our walk and our living in the old life, the Lord Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but whatever the Father shows me, that I do. The Lord had a sinless self life. There was no sin there. But he never used it. He never used the power that was in that self life to do anything, to live his life on this earth, or even to do the works of God. He never used it. It was always the power that came directly from God in his Spirit that operated. He refused his soul life throughout his entire life. I think one of the best examples was the enemy came to the Lord and he tempted him. He said, okay, you've been in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights without any food. Now you need to consider yourself and the fact that you're hungry. And what you should do is turn this stone into bread so that you can have nourishment and eat. Brothers and sisters, to us, that's very blatant because we know it's the enemy. We know the story. But in our lives personally, it's very, very subtle. How often are we trying to turn stones into bread with our old life? But the Lord refused. He said, to do the will of the Father is my bread. to do the will of my Father. Turning the stone into bread was not the will of his Father. It was a good thing. The Lord needed nourishment, but he chose not to use his soul life. He says, the will of my Father is my real food. That's what gives me strength. In speaking of this matter of the soul life, the self life, the power that is in that life, I indicate that it's weak. It is weak in doing God's will. But on the other hand, it is very powerful in doing what the flesh wants. It can be very powerful. And if you try to live in that life, you give a lot of strength to it. As a matter of fact, it can do a lot of good things. But God has said no to the self-life, because Christ took his self-life to the cross on your behalf. And he wants you to be willing to let your self-life go to the cross as well. In fact, by his accomplishing that on the cross for you, you're now able to do that. That's why it says, deny yourself and take up the cross. But it can be very powerful. Remember in Matthew 7:22, he said, in that day many will say to me, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? And the Lord will say, I don't even know who you are. You say you have done these things in my name, but I don't know you. I don't recognize you. Why? It's because it's the old life doing it. It was the power that was in the self life that accomplished these miracles, that accomplished these works. And there were many wonderful things, it says. Wonderful. It doesn't say dreadful. It says wonderful things. But they were accomplished in the power and strength of the self-life, of the old life. And the first thing the Lord addresses, I think, is kind of very interesting. He says, he didn't say these are bad works. He just said, I don't recognize you. Who are you? I don't recognize the life of my Father here. I don't recognize my life in you. I see these works, but they're not related to me. They weren't even in my Father's will. So, brothers and sisters, the self-life and the power in it can actually be very dangerous. Actually, there's a TV program that's going to be coming on, and I wouldn't recommend you watch it. But I saw it advertised, and it's going to be about a woman who is able to talk with the dead and to be able to, you know, I guess help the family or help whoever they're trying to get the word across. This can actually be done. We see it in the Old Testament when Saul went, he was trying to find out the Lord's will, and he went to the witch of Endor and he asked her to raise up Samuel, the prophet, so he could talk to him. And she did. She was able to raise up his spirit from the dead. There's power, a lot of power in the self-life. But it really never does the will of God. I guess what I'm saying is we have to be careful with this matter of the self-life. Its real danger is that it is a substitute for the life of Christ in you. And yet we live it because we're so used to it. It says that when Christ went to the cross, that he threw off the principalities and powers. He stripped them off. He said he stripped them off and made an open show of them. How did he do that? He did it because he didn't exercise some great power from within himself to throw them off. He did it and was able to do it because when the enemy came to him on the cross, he could find nothing in our Lord Jesus by which he could attack him. Let me say it a little different way. When the enemy wants to get to you, before he can attack you, he's got to find something in you. Some sin that you're into, some thought that's not correct, or even some work that you're doing for the Lord, which is being done out of your own soul life and soul power. On that basis, he forms a beachhead, so to speak, in you, and is able to do his work and get you to sin and get you away from Christ. Well, he couldn't find any ground in the Lord. First of all, the Lord Jesus never sinned. He never committed one sin. Number two, he had no sin nature, which we have. And number three, he never used his old soul life. Even though it was sinless, he never used it. And therefore, when the enemy came to our Lord, he couldn't find anything in him. And the Lord was just able to cast him in death off. And I kind of picture it like this. It's like water pouring over a rock. It just rolls off. It has no way to get in. And therefore it is cast off. So our Lord Jesus was able to cast off the principalities and powers because the enemy could find nothing in him. He lived a spiritual life all of his life. The enemy had no ground. The self-life and its power is far more damaging to your personal life and walk than the sins that you commit. The self-life is far more dangerous to your life as a Christian than even the sins you commit, because it's a substitute life. It's replacing Christ. What you're saying is Christ is not enough. I need myself to do it. And it is a substitute. Unwillingly, we find our lives live that way. You have to give me a few more minutes. I tell you what, let me end here because it's a good 30 minutes left. And I'll end at this point. But the next time I share, which would probably be 2 weeks from now, I will go more into this matter, and because I want to get more practical with it, particularly in this area of love and some other things that we have to deal with in our Christian life. But just take away from you today is, brothers and sisters, thank God he has put us in Christ. He has done this. And I pray that if you've held this as just a theological doctrine all your life, that God will open your eyes and you'll really see that you are in Christ, and faith will rise up in your heart and you'll be able to take that place. Otherwise, you're going to be walking to fellowship instead of riding in your car. Okay, I think I got the point. The other thing you need to see is that not only are you in Christ, but Christ is in you. The life of Christ is in you. And that life needs to replace that self-life, which is with you, even today. That self-life, unfortunately, as we walk through our Christian life, we substitute that for Christ's life and continue to walk in the old life, and we will fulfill the lust of the flesh. The self-life can be very righteous. It can be self-righteous, of course, but it's a righteousness that's not of God. And the Lord will look and say, I don't recognize you. And you say, but Lord, you know, I haven't smoked, I hadn't drunk, I hadn't gone to parties, I don't watch TV. What are all these other don'ts we have? I don't know what they are. I don't, you know, no dope, no, I've never been unruly as a child of my parents. I've never disobeyed. Whew. I don't think there's anybody in that category. But the Lord would look and say, I don't recognize you. You want to enter my kingdom, but I don't recognize the life here. Your life is uncharacteristic of my own, incapable of entering the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, when you read the Bible, is it with the old mind? Are you reading it in the life of Christ? When you study the Word, how are you approaching the Word? When you get ready for Friday night, are you just reading it and trying to get some facts out of it and say, yeah, well, this is a good point. I can make this point with the brothers and sisters. That's the old man. That's the self-life trying to study the Bible, read the Bible. No, you say, Lord, I could read this thing 1,000 times and not get anything out of it unless you, by your life and spirit in me, reveal it to me. And it becomes life in me. Otherwise, it becomes the letter and it becomes death and I become proud of all of my knowledge. And I end up with a life of knowledge and a life without any spiritual power. It's every aspect of our life. We should be saying, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I cannot be a father. Lord, I cannot be a mother. Let me tell you what, mothers, you have natural instincts in you that are unbelievable as mothers. And God knows that. But when we have children, we can read all the rule books, and they may have some very good things to learn and to go by. But ultimately, the real way to learn to be a parent is say, Lord, I cannot be a parent. I need you to be the parent in me. I need your life to show me, to give me the discernment, to give me the understanding how to raise my child and how to raise each one because they're all different. That is the life that we learn to live by. Even your studies, students, science, technology, whatever you're studying, sure you can grasp it with your mind. I'm amazed at what we've been able to do. I mean, when I was born, they had a few prop airplanes flying around. Now we got people going to the moon. Mine's amazing. And the abilities that it had. But if that knowledge is ever going to be of any value, you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to show me how this knowledge is to be used in my life. Otherwise, I'll use it to make bombs. Do you see what I'm trying to drive at? We need to learn to live a life in the Spirit. And not out of the old life. And it's so subtle, brothers and sisters. It's so subtle. In Christ. Christ in you. The great secret. Lord, we just come to Thee today. I really pray that as we consider Your Word this morning, Lord, that You will do that work deep in our hearts, that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes, that we can see we are truly in Christ, new creations. Lord, that you will not allow us, that you will give us that spiritual discernment when we begin to walk in the old man, when we begin to walk by the flesh. Lord, in all aspects of our lives, whether it's as children or parents or as friends or whatever it may be, Lord, we need your life. Oh, Lord, we do not want to substitute our life for yours any longer. We want it to be your life. In Jesus' name, I pray.